It's Terry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm sitting across from Rebecca Cyril, who is a girl I love, and you're still a girl for me because I knew you since you were 7 years
old. I know. I'm so happy to be here. I love you. I love looking at your face. I'm glad we're in the same space together today.
We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
Lifelong friend, 20 years between us. And what I love is there's 20 years between us. There's probably 10 years between your mom and I, mm-hmm. and there's 10 years between you and Lucy.
Yeah.
So we span the generations. And I've gotten to watch you grow up, and you've gotten to watch Lucy grow up. But you're like a famous lady who writes television shows and sells books and does all kinds of cool things.
So. And you're a famous lady now. It's incredible. I love watching you. My mom and I always say that we like to leave your stories on. Even if we're just in the car and we can't look at them, just hearing your voice every day is so soothing and nice. And I just love you.
One of the things I love about social media is, I mean, we've been connected and you lived in Hawaii and I spent a lot of time there. And then, you know, you moved to New York, you moved to LA. When I come to New York, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
But with social media, it's like, even if we haven't seen each other,
yes.
it's like, I'm caught up. I know what's going on.
Completely.
You know?
It's really interesting because I think also having watched me grow up, I think there were probably times in which you didn't see me for 5 years, 7 years. Over those periods of time, you know, someone would walk in and you could say, oh, my God, I can't believe, like, look at you growing up. But now with social media, you're right there. Like, you've seen that. You've seen that progression. So you're never missing anything. It's interesting.
I want to talk about all the cool stuff you do. But just for a minute, I want to talk about your growing up, because we had a home in Hawaii. So we would come every year.
Yeah.
And your mother and father were dear friends of mine. And they were dear friends of Patrick and Lucy's dad. And tell us a little bit about, because I think of you as kind of this untraditional, growing up. So tell us a little bit about that.
It's so funny that you think about it as being untraditional. It's really interesting. Well, so I was born on the East Coast in Philadelphia. My mom was from Philadelphia. My dad was from New York. And we would spend, in my early years, probably right before I met you, from like 1 to 7, we would spend like 3 or 4 months of the year in Hawaii. Because my parents hated the cold. And finally, they were like, what are we doing? We should not be returning to the East Coast. We should just live in Hawaii all the time. Like, this is crazy. We should just be there. And so from the time I was probably about 10 until I went to college, we lived on Maui, which is where my folks still live. They spend a lot of time in LA, so I get to see them now. It's interesting, though, because for many years I wrote young adult novels. And people always ask me, what was it like growing up in Hawaii? What was it like being a teenager there? And I think the reality is that young experiences, teen experiences are so universal. Like, no matter where you are, everyone's sort of doing the same thing. Okay, so we were surfing before school. I mean, I wasn't, but like cool kids were surfing before school and doing these things. But at the end of the day, you're just, you know, you're with your family, you're hanging with your friends. It was sort of like growing up anywhere else, which I know is strange for people.
Well, it's just like, I think your mom and dad were like way ahead of the curve on yoga, let's face
yes.
it. And coming over, and they were vegetarians, and, you know, it was like your dining table was like on the floor rather than, and your mom's kind of a hippie.
I know, my dad
right?
would always be like, can we just have some chairs, please? Like, I just would like to sit down in a chair. We have chairs now. They have chairs
right.
now.
I mean, so when I came, we're sitting on the floor, and,
yes.
you know, I mean, and of course, Lucy's dad and Patrick's dad, Oming, you know, definitely Mr. Yoga,
yes.
all of that. So that was certainly part of what we did. But you guys brought it to the next level, and you went to the Waldorf school.
I did.
So I do think of you when I think of it as like a little alternative in that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that that is true. But I think that we talk about this a lot, like the mother-daughter dynamic, because you're so close with Lucy, and I know you were so close with your mother, and I'm so close with my mom. I think that the parenting was traditional, even though everything that surrounded it maybe wasn't. Like you're saying, the yoga. But our family dynamic was very traditional, and I think that was important to my parents.
Yes.
To make me feel like they were the parents, I was the kid. Like we had
totally.
A really loving,
yes.
but like
oh,
very
yes.
sort of defined family in that capacity.
I think of your mother as certainly one of the wisest women that I know.
She's
and
it,
when I think of like moments in parenting, especially, and again, it makes me want to tear up. Just when I went through some different things with mm-hmm. my kids at different periods, and she was the kind of person I knew I could talk to her. I knew I could tell her whatever. I knew not only would she love my kids, she would absolutely not judge them, but I could just go to her to say, I'm really struggling and I don't know what to do here. And I, you know, I went through some, you know, Patrick and I went through some times, and I, you know, her just like knowing
yes.
you're going to make it through. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. We did, and we went through some times. Yeah. And she was like a person that I could talk to about and didn't feel like I was going to be judged. I just felt that she was really safe, so I didn't even know I was going to talk
to her. She's
about
incredible.
That.
I love She's her. Incredible. She's like, and I, like, as I've gotten older, I really appreciate her for the woman that she is, as opposed to just being my mother. Like, I can see that in her and what she brings to other people, and I go to her for everything.
Right. She's a goddess.
She is.
And she isn't one of those people like you left us. I mean, you guys were as close yes. as Lucy and I, just as close as people could be. But it wasn't like you left the house and then, you know, Ranjana's her name, that it was like Ranjana's laying around, you know, crying.
No.
I mean, fullest life in the entire
I was
world.
Laying around crying in my dorm room, begging to come home for the first year. I was not ready to go to college. But no, she has an incredible, I mean, she's like the community leader. Anybody
leader.
Has a problem,
yes.
they're at our house.
She's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you're doing now. How does it, you know, you come from that background, that's who you are. I mean, now you're like, you know, you're writing books, your books are TV shows, and tell us, like, about that and who you are and all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Well, I just had a book come out September called The Dinner List, which has been really fun. So I've been busy with that. It's about a woman who shows up to her 30th birthday dinner, and it's that dinner. If you could have dinner with any five people, living or dead, who would they be? So we can talk about who would be on our list later. And for the last decade, I wrote, like I said, I wrote young adult novels. So I have a series of books, two books called Famous in Love, one's Famous in Love, one's Truly Madly Famously, a book called When You Were Mine, and a book called The Edge of Falling. And Famous in Love, I adapted and turned into a TV show. We did two seasons on Freeform with Bella Thorne, which was really fun and interesting and challenging and probably the most difficult creative professional experience I've ever had. And that got me living in LA half the time. I don't know if I'm answering this question. It's a lot. Yeah, there's.
You're answering the question.
I would imagine you probably feel this way too. It blows my mind all the time that I get to make a living doing what I love and that people care.
Right.
It's profound. It's profound. It never stops being profound. I hope it never does.
Oh, absolutely. I remember, you know, that your mom was so excited and you had this, you know, book was going to be this TV show and it was like, oh, Rebecca's written this. And so it's like, I absolutely have to watch the show because this is Rebecca.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I'll watch one or two episodes and then I'm going to know enough and I'll be able to say I did, you know. So I turn it on. Well, it's like, I love the show so much. I'm obsessed, of course. I have to watch
that.
Every episode. I binge watch it, you know, and then I talk about it on the page where it's like, I love Famous in Love. It's like, and I know Rebecca. So the show, and what channel? Is it Netflix? I never know what channel.
It's Freeform.
It's
Freeform.
Okay.
Yes. There's two seasons on Freeform. Yes, unfortunately, we're not making a third, but it was a really fun experience. That cast is so great. They're so great. It's delicious. If anyone's looking for just like a fun weekend binge, I recommend.
It's fantastic. I mean, you watch it. You get completely hooked. You love the characters.
Yeah.
I know that you know all of them, so I'm a little bit obsessed with that. I think Lucy ran into some of them.
She did. Yes. She did. She sent me, actually, I think they might have called me on the street. She ran into Georgie and Carter, two cast members on the show, and they sent me a cute selfie together. It was like, it just made my heart warm.
So how does that go from, you've written this book, and then it becomes, is it called a screenplay, or what is it called?
I
don't know the right terms.
A script.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Screenplay, script. So I was writing the book, the first book in the series, and I felt like, I think this could really be a TV show. And it was always a dream of mine to make a television show. I mean, I grew up on WB shows. So Dawson's Creek, Gilmore Girls, you know, Gossip Girl, The OC. Like, I loved all of that so much. Roswell. And it was always really a dream of mine to make a series for young people. And I felt like this was a show that I would want to watch. Like, it was a show that I would have loved when I was a teenager. And so I started talking about how to maybe go about doing that. And I have a really incredible manager who encouraged me to adapt it myself, which was a very interesting process that I recommend. And it's really fun, actually, to see more and more novelists beginning to be really involved in their adaptations. It used to be that you would sell rights to something. If you were the author and you wrote a book, you would sell rights to something, and that would be done. Like, the door would close, goodbye, here's your paycheck. But now authors are really starting to stay involved, which I think is just really wonderful, and kind of see the process through. It's very different, but it's interesting and exciting.
I loved those characters. So did you get anything to do with, like, picking people that were on the show, or are you part of the auditioning process? Like, how much are you involved?
I did everything.
Wow.
I did everything. So I was yeah, I was involved in all elements of the process, from casting. Our pilot got picked up first, so then we cast the pilot, and then we shot the pilot. I think this was in December of 2015, and then in the spring of 2016, the show was picked up to series, and then I was, you know, in the writer's room every day and on set every day, and it's a very all-encompassing experience, but it's such a dynamic experience, and it's an experience that's so full of dialogue. And as a novelist, I've spent the last decade basically like alone or in a room with myself, right, and my own thoughts. So opening my world up to other people, so many other people, was exciting and also really challenging for me. So it was nice to then, we had that experience, and then it was nice to return. I think I'll always sort of swing between the two, because yes, having that creative ownership and really getting to produce something that's just your vision is such a sacred experience. It's so different than anything else. And I really find that in novels.
It's fun, I think, to do things where I like to say where you're flying, you know, beyond your skis.
Yes.
And I mean, if we're only just...
That's a good... I like that, flying beyond your skis. I'm going to use that.
I'm sure I got it from somewhere. But if we're only just doing what we know and life is just the status quo, and it's just like we're good at everything we do and, you know... But then when we go, I actually don't know what I'm doing, and,
yes,
and I'm just taking all of me, but I'm going way beyond my skis. That is, I mean, that's where the growth is. It's exciting. It's challenging. It's maddening.
Yes. But I think as you move forward, you realize no one really knows, at least not at the beginning.
Right.
There's nobody who shows up on the first day of their first show, even if they've been working in television forever, and goes like, I got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. Nobody. So that is always helpful for me in imagining the next challenge. Like,
right,
okay, let's just dive in, because no one really knows what they're doing.
I know there used to be this saying, like, anybody who knows anything about anything started out knowing nothing, but I used to say it more eloquently. Anyway,
I like that too.
The point is, you know, if you're an expert, at one point you knew absolutely nothing about
it. Yes.
And that's what we have to remember.
Yes. Yes.
So what's up for you next?
So I just had this book, The Dinner List, come out, and...
Like, what? Tell us about the book. Why that book? What? How did you get there?
So I wrote the first 100 pages before Famous in Love, and they felt really organic to me and interesting and good. And then our pilot got picked up, and then the series was picked up, and all of a sudden it was 3.5 years later, and I had just sort of been on this roller coaster ride. And like I said, I came back to literally back to New York and back to my computer, and was sort of desperate for something that I could own myself, and discovered these pages. And in that interval, over those 3 years, my grandmother had passed away, who I was very close with, Sylvia, who I know you knew as well.
Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing woman.
I think we just have to stop to say, what an amazing woman.
Yeah,
and we
incredible.
Come from such, both of us, such a lineage of amazing women.
Yes.
So I love how much I knew and loved your grandmother and thought she was amazing. And I know, you know, that we got to have some of those experiences.
I love
with
that
each
you
other.
Did. I love that you did too. She was a really incredible woman, and I see so much of my mother, so much of her in my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had passed away, and all of a sudden, this idea of like, okay, this like fun sort of kitschy concept, like, what are the five people, living or dead, you'd want to have dinner with, took on this really significant meaning. Because I was like, you know, I would love to just sit down with her one more time and ask her all the stuff I never, all the peripheral things you never think about when somebody's living.
Right.
So it became, it just, the concept just became much more meaningful for me. And actually, I did a book tour earlier in the summer. By the way, I keep saying summer. It's like, it's properly fall. Like, we're moving into holiday season
it's
here.
It's practically winter.
I know. It's ridiculous. I keep saying, I was saying that the other day. I was like, well, I was really traveling all summer. And somebody looked at me. They were like, are you kidding me? It's November. But so I did a book tour earlier in the summer. And we hosted dinner parties for booksellers all across the states, and it was really wonderful and really interesting.
And you literally hosted dinner parties?
My publisher, yeah, hosted
wow.
dinner parties at different restaurants for booksellers. We did one in Chicago, which was really fun.
Oh, fun. Where'd you have it in Chicago? She wish she knew. Okay.
I wish I knew. I forget. It was like 12 cities, and we did a different dinner every night. It was kind of a whirlwind. It was great. But in this dinner, we would ask people, like, who would your people be? Who would you invite to dinner if you could? And the answers were so personal. It was like, I would want my mom because she never got to meet my son. Or, you know, my grandparents. Or, never got to meet my husband. Like, it was all very, very personal and very family. And that, it made me feel good. So anyway, so the concept really kind of took form I found the meaning in it, which I think is really important. I think it's one thing to have an idea, but I'm always trying to figure out what it's like about with a capital A. Mm-hmm. Like, what's it really about? What am I really trying to say? What contribution is this going to be making? How's it going to touch people? How's it going to make people feel? And that took hold for me. And then I wrote the rest pretty quickly. And now it's a book.
So you really had that time in between.
Yeah. One was about 5 years. It was about 5 years. And I'm working on a new book now. It's interesting. I'm writing this one quicker than I have ever written a book before. And it's a very I haven't told my editor or anybody about this. But it's a very sort of emotionally challenging book because there's a lot of grief and sadness in it. And I feel like been writing it sort of quickly to stay in step with it, which I never had that experience before. It's been really interesting to want to just stay with it, stay mm-hmm. close to it. But that's the thing about, I think, being a creative person is that the process is continuously surprising. It's never finished for me. I never feel like I, quote unquote, know, like we're saying, I know what I'm doing. I've written 6 books now, but everyone is different and unique. And I think that that's what keeps me excited about keeping wanting to do it, is that I'm always kind of trying to figure out what happens next, too.
All right. This idea that we're always transitioning, that we're always finding something new. You know, I always like when I was growing up and I had this great family and I loved my parents so much. It's just like, oh, that's always what my life is. And I mean, they were so much the center of my life. So now that my parents are gone and my kids are gone, and it's like what you realize is life is transitioning all of the time, over and over and over again, and we just have to keep riding it. And then we just have to keep showing up with as much joy as we can always, because that's what we have to do.
That's
and there's
what we have to
all
do.
Kinds of times where it's like, oh, this is hard to have joy here. But I always look for that. I look for it because I always say that is the way I give honor to my parents. My mother would not want me to be unhappy. She would want me to find joy, which doesn't mean that you don't have sad moments.
Yeah.
But she would always want me to look for the light, to look for the joy. So that's what I do. And I always think, you know, I do that, you know, because
I love that. And you're such a great example of that. Like, you do it for so many people now, which is really amazing. It's really wonderful how many people you do it for. You do it for me every day when I hear your voice and I see you.
Thank you.
I feel that way about my mom, too. And I think that you're right. Each age is so transitional. And I'm someone who doesn't, despite my sort of fluid, more kind of alternative career, let's say, I don't always love change. I think change can be really hard. I think some of us are less adept at it than others. But my mom is that person, too, who's constantly. And I know, I sometimes even know in our relationship that it's hard for her how much things have changed.
Right.
But she still is such an advocate for that change, even if maybe it's to personal sacrifice sometimes. And I think that is the thing that makes her the most remarkable mother. Not to make this whole podcast about her.
Okay.
About her.
Mothers
but it's
are my
that.
Favorite topic,
but it's
either
that.
Being one or having one or knowing one.
Yes. Yes. It's really that.
So it's just that she embraces it. And even though it's hard and seeing how life changes,
she
that's
wants
hard for
it
her.
For me.
Yes.
Yeah. She wants it for me. Even if sometimes it takes us a little bit away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you balance it all? I mean, you live on 2 coasts. You know, you work with yourself, by yourself, but then you have, of course, mm-hmm. people that support and all of that. How do you balance all of that and make that happen? And how do you know how to make good decisions?
It's so interesting because I recently had a situation come up about 6 weeks ago, like right before the book came out, that was sort of a big creative moment for me. And there was a big decision that I was trying to make. And I feel like I feel like we just have to listen to our gut. Mm-hmm. There is no other information. There's nothing that is going to come. There's no information that's going to come from your brain that's going to be better than what's coming from your gut. There just isn't. And so anytime I'm faced with something and I find myself internally talking a lot about it, trying to rationalize it, trying to like think about it a lot, I like to like take a step back and say like, okay, but like what's the gut check here? Like how does this feel? How does this like resonate in my body? Maybe it sounds crazy to some people, but I make all of my big decisions that way. None of them come from up here, from a place of like, okay, well, this is what I should do, or this makes creative or financial sense, or this feels right, or this whatever. It's always, what is the thing that is really resonating? Do I have a feeling of like getting a strong yes? And I think that the more we listen to our intuition and the more we trust our gut and the more we make decisions for that place, the stronger it gets and the louder the signal gets.
Right, right.
And my seitel's pretty loud at this point. How about you? I mean, do you? What's your process like when you're faced with a new big project or you're trying to make a big decision? And in you know,
I definitely go internal. I'm a thinker. You know, so I'm always thinking through it, and my brain is always spinning. I'm working in the middle of the night. I mean, even if I want to be sleeping, my brain is like working overtime. So there are people I talk to. My partner Roy is somebody who I really trust. You know, I talk to Zach. I have other people that I do. But a lot of it is just based on my gut.
Yeah.
And I'm also really willing to make mistakes. And I mean, in what we do when working with clients and delivering a product and working on campaigns, we are not art directors. So it is all from our gut.
Right.
But I trust it. I really, really trust it. And I always loved Sonia Choquette's book, The Psychic Pathway. And a little something you might not know about me is I actually taught a workshop based on her book called The Psychic Pathway.
I did not know that.
And it was over like 13 weeks teaching people how to listen to their intuition, how to trust it, how to act on it, and created a lot of exercises.
When was
stuff.
This?
This was probably before my kids were born.
That's incredible. So
I actually taught a couple of classes.
I love
it's
that. I need to get that book.
It's an interesting book. She's an amazing author. I'd love to have her on the podcast. But, you know, I go back to Shirley MacLaine from when I was like in my 20s and Shakti Gawain, creative visualization.
Yes.
That's what I knew. That's just where I come from.
Yes.
My mother took me to a Shirley MacLaine workshop. You know, when I was like 18 years old.
I love that.
You know?
So I love that.
I think we come from a long line of listen to your own intuition.
Yes.
And that's how I absolutely do my life. And it works for me. And I can't say for other people they should do it because maybe it wouldn't work for somebody. But for me, it certainly does.
You know what's interesting, too, I think about the gut intuition thing is I think it used to be about, okay, let's envision the thing that we want. And I think now it's let's envision the feeling that we want.
Right.
So I really feel like, maybe I don't know exactly what it looks like. Maybe I don't know exactly what it is that I'm wanting, but I do know the feeling that I'm wanting. What I think I want is this thing, but this is how it feels to me when I get that thing. So let me release the thing and just go with the feeling of what it feels like. And then whatever's delivered to me will be good because it'll have that resonance. It'll feel that way to me. So that's been a little bit of an interesting perspective shift, I think, as opposed to holding so strongly to this idea of what I really want, maybe letting go of that a little bit and thinking about the feeling that I want.
I always feel like when I am ready for something new, you know, recently I was like, you know what? I want to lose weight. I just really do. And it's always been a struggle for me, but it's sort of like, you know, I'm in my 50s, if not now, when? And I just made a decision for myself. This is happening for me. And so much of it, I think, that happens is the universe then brings you everything you need.
Yes.
Because you start with that and you have that idea and then you plant the seed and you're just like, oh, no, this is happening. And almost when you make the decision, or for myself, when I make the decision, whatever it is, you don't even need to worry because the universe is lined up. Everything's there waiting. It's all going to come into play and you don't have to noodle around it or work it really hard.
Yes.
And so that's more and more what I get. I mean, part of the joy of being 50 is there's just a freeing in it. You know, you're still really, you know, youngish, not old. You know, you feel good in who you are. You're not like really looking for people to, it's not like I'm going to become a totally different person. This is who I am. You know, you've got good friends and all of that. And, you know, and yet there's just a certain wisdom that comes with it where you're just kind of like, screw it. It's okay if you don't like me. You know, this is who I am.
Do you feel like that happened to you at 50? Like, is that a recent?
I feel like I've been heading there.
Yes.
I feel like I've been heading there. I do think in the last 10 years, I feel like I've come into my own. You know, part of it is, you know, I left my marriage. So then I'm out on my own. And so then you got to really do this just on your own kind of a thing. Part of it is my kids coming into their own and leaving and me feeling like I can really, you know, be working on myself. Part of it is, you know, I have an amazing partner who just happens to love me for exactly who I am.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, be different or, you know, be thinner or be taller or be richer or be poorer. I can just simply be me. And he really celebrates that. That is such a gift.
Oh, man. Just, the biggest.
The biggest gift.
The biggest.
So I feel like all of those things. And then part of it is I feel like my mom's gone. I've internalized some of that, like, Patty Turner wisdom and all of that, you know. And she's far enough there, but she's still always here. And I feel like all of these things come together and it just makes it, it's easy.
It's amazing. Do you feel your mom in your life?
Oh, everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when she first died, it's like you can't even breathe and you don't know how you're going to go forward and all of that. And it's just the physical missing her.
Yeah.
But there's a point where I realized my mother is actually here all the time.
Wow.
So I don't have to miss her. And I'm beyond that. She wasn't here a year ago. So I know it's been 18. It's going to be 19 years.
Wow.
But I feel her with me. I feel her here. I mean, I literally feel her in all my moments. So I just feel like my mom is always with me. And when I do a photo shoot, I always look at the camera thinking, that is my mother. She is looking at me and she's sharing the moment with me. You know, that's what I do is just say, that's my mom. She's here with me. So, yeah, I do feel
now like
she's
everyone's crying, guys. Yeah. Now everyone's crying. That's really beautiful to hear, though, because I think part of having such a strong relationship with your mom in this body, in this life, is the fear of the time in which you won't have that anymore.
Right.
It's so deep. It's so built into that. There's no way to not have that be present. And it's just... It's really beautiful and really helpful to hear you say that, to know that that'll be true.
Yeah, and you just, you know, it's just like appreciate every moment.
Yeah.
And I know you do. It's like I get to periods of my life where I think, oh,
my mom's very healthy. She's not going anywhere.
No, she's not.
Right, exactly.
And in your family, but, the women live forever,
I
just say?
Forever. I mean, but yes, my mom's going to be around forever.
But I think it's just enjoying the time. There are those moments where I think, oh, like being an empty nester, I wanted to ask my mother, what was this like for you? So it's the sadness is I can't ask her that question in that same way, or the kids doing something magnificent, you know, and saying, I want to share the moment with her.
Yeah.
You know, or Lucy being, you know, she really knew Patrick because Patrick was, you know, whatever, 8 when she had, so they were really connected as souls, but Lucy was so little and, you know, seeing who Lucy's become where it's like, oh, I just want you to, they would love each other. And I feel like they are so similar.
They are.
You know?
Yes. Can I just say, I recently got to spend some time with Lucy in LA and it's been a while since I'd seen her, like as the adult that she is. She is so incredible. She's so amazing. It's such a joy for me also to see how much she loves you and how much she appreciates who you are. Because I knew her when she was a baby, 2 years old, running around, toddling. To see your relationship now, it's really wonderful to see. It's really wonderful to witness.
When you and your mom are so much the same way. Mm-hmm. I would say if there's anybody where I'm like, who has a similar relationship.
Yes.
You guys are crazy about each other. Your biggest champions.
We are.
And,
we are.
You know, dear, dear friends.
Yeah. And it's interesting, we were getting into this a little bit beforehand, but I was saying, there's about 10 years between Lucy and I, and I think this 10 years has been so transformative and pivotal in my relationship with my mother, because it's never going to be a fully two-way street. She's my mom, and there's certain pathways that flow in a certain direction, but we've become so much more equals in the way we communicate. And just a few months ago, something came up that's like just sort of been a part of our relationship. And I called her and I was like, you know, I don't really think that you need to carry this around anymore. Like, this doesn't seem like it has any place in your life or in our relationship anymore. And she was like, you know, you're right. And it's incredible that I can illuminate that for her. And then I have a mother who will take that in and consider it and look at herself. And so we've just become these really cool friends, too.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Do you get to do some traveling with your mom?
I do. We went to Paris together last summer, which was so fun. This summer, I went with some friends. So, but I would love to make that an annual thing. And I see her. We spend a lot of time. My father also. We spend a lot of time in Los Angeles. Like, I'm about to head there, and they'll be there for the month. So it's nice. I think the thing that I miss as an adult is that sort of day-to-day contact with them. Not the time in which you have 4 days together and so you have to cram it all in, you have to stare at each other. That's sort of a pressurized time. And I like when we have longer stretches where we can kind of just be in each other's lives and it can be easy. I can go work out. She can go to yoga. We can maybe get a tea. Like, it's just, it's calmer. And I would love to have that someday all the time, but they're so happy in Hawaii, and I'm so happy in New York.
Yeah. So tell us more about your life. What's it like? Are you in the same place your friends are? What's happening with all of that?
It's really interesting. I think one of the things that I wrote a lot about in the dinner list, so the people at the table are her father, who passed away when she was young, who she kind of never really made peace with. Audrey Hepburn, which is fun, her old college professor, her ex-boyfriend who she had this decade-long relationship with, and her best friend, who she's been best friends with since they were teenagers, and they're now 30. And I think that this time in friendship is so interesting because it's really the first, I think, like your late 20s, early 30s, you know, obviously people have kids and get married at different stages of life. But for the people in, you know, my friends, people in my community, it's been kind of this age. Everyone's on such a different path. And it's really the first time where people have such, like, there's such discrepancy between people's priorities. It's massive. And so finding ways to stay in each other's lives and to keep coming back to the table and to keep coming back to that relationship and to keep valuing it and prioritizing it, it's really interesting. And it's really special, the friends that I've been able to do that with, because I know, like, we are really in it with each other. But it's a really interesting age, because people's paths are diverging in such interesting ways.
And so on a day-to-day basis, what do you do?
On a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
When I'm in New York and I'm actively writing a book, which is usually where I write, where I do a lot of novel writing. LA has been more sort of, you know, production and getting the show. I'll wake up. I like to work out in the morning. You're a morning, like, soul cycle exercise person.
I'm a morning person.
If it doesn't happen in the morning, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
And it needs to happen, because it's very, very difficult for me to be, like, focused and feel good if I'm not, I'm, like, moving my shoulders around, like, now. If I don't get that kind of out in the morning. And then I do 1,000 to 2,000 words a day on a book that I'm writing. So that could, honestly, it sounds crazy, but it could be anything from 45 minutes to sometimes it takes me 5 hours to write that. Just depending on what creative space I'm in, what else is going on. I honestly think writers should be judged by the age in which they live. It is so difficult. Phones are the biggest. Do you find this? I mean, you are, you know, nonstop on Insta stories and whatever, and it's such a big part of your life, and you're incredible at it. But I will sometimes get into bed. Like, I read so much less than I used to. I'll get into bed, and I'll have an hour, and I'll be like, oh, I can write the book. And then all of a sudden, 50 minutes have passed, and I've just been staring at my phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, of course, it's a thing that does us. I mean, it is definitely my area of challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm always sort of looking for ways to kind of balance that. Actually, for the last 3 weeks, I've been meditating in the morning.
I love that.
I will say, if anybody is thinking about meditating, for years, I did TM, but I did the TM, Transcendental Meditation. It's 20 minutes and you repeat a mantra, and I would never do it because 20 minutes was too long. And finally, This like amazing man, Sogan, in New York, who I see and who's like a meditation teacher, looked at me and said, what's better, the idea of 20 minutes or actually doing 5? And I was like, oh, actually doing 5. So I've been meditating 5 minutes every morning. And 5 minutes is like fine.
And like, what do you do?
I mean, I can do 5 minutes.
Could I meditate and be answering Instagram stories is what I want to know.
I do it first thing I wake up. It's like a short little guided thing. Just focus on your breathing for 5 minutes. But it was such a paradigm shift for me of like all this time I'm agonizing about, no, it needs to be 20. It needs to be 20. It needs to be 20. Meanwhile, 20 is not happening. I'm never doing it. So now I actually do 5.
And is it his voice? Is it you making it up? Are your eyes closed? Are you laying down? I want to nap and do it. But I know.
Some of them you can lie down. Can be your own experience. No, it's sitting up. And you're just really honestly focusing on your breathing. You're just breathing in and out for 5 minutes. I find it to be very helpful to start the day that way. This thing has a timer on it. It's a short guide. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
I'm going to send it to you. You're going to get hooked up. Right, workout, right. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm in New York, it's like a pretty social life, which I love. So it's dinners out. It's doing things. I go to a lot of book events. I have a lot of author friends who are publishing different things. I try to be like decent about seeing Broadway shows, but I haven't been in a while. I feel like you see more than I do. And
when I come to town, I like to see theater, and it's so inspiring.
Yeah. It's great. New York is a very dynamic, interesting place. And then LA is a whole different home. And it's kind of fun in this phase of my life to get to do both. They're so different, but they sort of give me, like, they're like kind of two halves to a whole. And so right now it's kind of fun to be a little footloose and fancy free.
Do you have any shows that you're thinking of writing or anything like that in the works?
Yes, I do. I actually just got the rights to a book series that I absolutely loved as a like late teenager and in my 20s. It meant the world to me, and it's so fun because I'm hopefully making it into a show. So I definitely want to do more television for sure. But I think it will always be a balance for me because that creative expression is so important. And I think that television is so, it's so dynamic, and it's such a different medium, and it's so fun because there's actors and there's production and there's like a team of writers, but nothing I don't think will ever beat the process of just being alone with a blank page the way novels give me. So I think I'll probably bounce back and forth for as long as they'll let me do this.
I love that. I just have to ask, who would your dinner guest be?
Nora Ephron.
Oh, nice.
Who I absolutely loved. And she was an incredible cook. I actually, it was funny. At one of these dinners that I did on the book tour, I said that. And a woman was like, she's extremely anti-feminist. And I was like, that's so interesting. We had a really interesting conversation about You've Got Mail and sort of like romantic tropes. It was very fascinating. I was like, I did not see that coming, that Nora Ephron was going to be controversial.
Right.
No, she was amazing. I really loved her. And I loved her books, too. She was a really wonderful writer. Joan Didion, who I love. Although it's an interesting idea, right? Because it's like, do you really want to meet your heroes?
Right, of course.
Like who's somebody who you just would really love to sit across from?
I mean, of course. I mean, Oprah. I mean, yes. Yeah. You know, Nigella Lawson, Ina Garten.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
I mean, and of course, Julia Child, you know.
Yeah.
But the truth for me is it would be my family. It would be departed family mixed with current family.
Yeah.
That for me would just would be, you know, what I would want the most. Yeah. Those experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram,
Rebecca_Searle,
Twitter, Rebecca A. Searle, and my website, RebeccaSearle.com. And you can get the dinner list everywhere books are sold.
I love that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be giving one away.
Yeah. We're going to do that. Very fun.
Definitely check with. Thank you so much. This is such a dream for me that you would come and we would do this and get to sit across from each other.
I love you, Terry.
We deeply, deeply love each other. And we love our lineage of these amazing women. Your grandmother, my mother, your mother, my daughter. And we love the guys, too.
Yes.
We love the guys, too. But we're talking about girls today.
We're talking about women today.
And they're shy. And they're like, don't even talk about us because we don't. It's okay.
They're good men. They're like, go shine.
Yes, absolutely.
Go shine.
Absolutely. So No Crumbs Left signing off. You can find me over at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Facebook, or my blog. Have a great day.